Discover the mystery behind mankind's rebellion and God's divine intervention. This is your Tower of Babel Bible study. Grab your Bible and follow along.
I hope everybody grabbed their Bible as instructed. So welcome back, everybody. We are again on The Last Christian Radio Show, and we are going to be talking about Babel today. We're backing up just a little bit because we went through the lineages, but I felt remiss that we did not talk about Babel. Joel, would you like to talk about Babel today?
Yeah, you know, as a matter of fact, David, I was prepared for this a long time ago. I mean, you know, I was looking at the way that the study was going, and said, well, we're getting close to Babel, so I'm going to go ahead and start making stuff up for it. And then today, you know, you told me, you know, we're going to do it for tonight's show, and I was like, oh, okay, let me go back and find that stuff and see if I can find it again. You know, it'd been a bit, but
been a little bit.
Yeah, but this is really cool, and I've already gone over your notes as well, so I'm going to be hanging in there and going along with you, but I'm really looking forward to the study.
Yeah, it's like, well, you know me, gazillion notes.
Right. Well, you're a teacher. That's expected.
Yeah. Now, with Babel, there's crazy stuff around it, too, just like you would talk about when we get into the Nephilim.
Yeah.
There's going to be people with different crazy ideas about it, too, so you get a lot of that with Babel as well. But that's standard. So we're going to go through and we're just going to iron it out and look at the scripture and see what it says.
Yeah.
Could you pray us in though?
Absolutely. Father, we come to you and we ask for your blessing today as we begin the study here on the Tower of Babel and everything that came from that, including a new world. Father, please let this message reach the ones that need to hear it. And allow the Holy Spirit to come into them, that they too may join us in paradise that fateful day, whether it be through the rapture or through their end of life. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. We agree. I know we talk about Jubilees a lot too, and Jubilees has a little bit of a different version, I would say. So we can explore that and then see if it doesn't, like, matching up versus additional information. I think that's important to differentiate.
Okay. Before you even begin, David, because I'm going to do this now and get it out of the way where we don't have to mess with it, okay? And that is that at The Last Christian, we rely 100% on your support to continue broadcasting the gospel message across the globe. Whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly offering, every donation, large or small, makes a real difference and is fully tax-deductible. Now, you can support us by shopping with our trusted affiliates at lastchristian.net. When you buy, they give, and we grow. Check out Everyday Dose Coffee. Start your day strong with a delicious mushroom-based coffee alternative that fuels your mind and body without the crash. Then there's the Conservative Store. Wear your values with pride and stock up on patriotic gear, gifts, and apparel that stand for truth and freedom. There's Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, clean, natural, no-nonsense nutrition made from time-tested ingredients that your body will thank you for. And last but certainly not least, there is Christian Book. From Bibles to devotionals to homeschool resources, they've got everything you need to grow in faith and share it boldly. Visit lastchristian.net today to donate or shop with a purpose. Together, we're reaching the world for Christ, one message at a time.
Just one at a time?
Just one at a time, David. And it makes a big difference.
Yeah, how about that? I like it. Okay, so do you know where we find Babel?
You know, I read it. It was Mesopotamia, I believe. And I'm not really sure where Mesopotamia is. There was a hint. It was, Babylon. So
I know the guy, and his mom used to tell him that all the time. He said, "You made a Mesopotamia. Now clean it up."
There you go.
Oh, it's pretty bad, right?
Yeah.
All right, so I wanted to start out with this. We hear a lot, when different people teach, you hear the term, Babel is the gate of God, or the gate of the gods. But then when you look it up in, like, all the biblical stuff and Babel, like the Complete Word Study puts it in, it says it's a proper noun designating Babel or Babylon. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting because this is where all of the governments of the world start. Mm-hmm. A name meaning confession and the name of a foreign power most often mentioned in the Old Testament, Babylon. Okay. It also, its beginnings go back to Nimrod, a mighty warrior and a hunter, but also found in cities of city-states, like in Genesis 10. Mm-hmm. And at Babel, the languages of the world became mixed and separated, and there are great towers that were built to approach the gods as humankind deemed necessary. Mm-hmm. And God stopped the building of these towers of hubris. And we're going to read that in Genesis 11.
Okay.
And here mankind trying to gather as one, and it was a part of the Assyrian Empire for a while, then the Neo-Babylonian Empire, and then founded by Nabopolassar.
Mm.
Remember him?
Mm-mm.
That was Nebuchadnezzar's father.
Okay. No, I hadn't heard of him before.
Nabopolassar.
He got by me. I hadn't heard of him before.
He slipped right by?
Yeah. Yeah, right on by me.
Yeah, they call him Nabo and Nebi.
Oh, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, see, I would have gone straight to Nebuchadnezzar based on what you just said, you know, and I would have been completely 180 off.
Right. It's Nabopolassar and then Nebuchadnezzar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the Nebo is part of their name. That's the beginning. It's kind of, almost like a surname. But mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. So Nebi ruled for like 33 years and is a topic of the book of Daniel, as we mm-hmm. see.
Okay.
I would also offer my opinion that Nebuchadnezzar was saved, actually.
Oh, okay. Okay. And how do you base that?
Because he wrote chapter 4. What?
How do you base that you think he was saved?
Oh, read what he writes. He's like, after he built the tower, mm-hmm. you know, and after he threw him in the oven, and mm-hmm. after the statue and all that stuff, God's like, you're not listening to me. So he turns him into a werewolf for 7 years, right?
Oh, wow.
And then he comes back and says, surely this God is greater than all the other gods.
Yeah.
And if you listen to his language, it looks like he repented. And actually, I wouldn't be surprised if he's there. You know,
he might
be wrestling with the Hulk right now. Who knows?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised by it either. One thing that I got to say this during because of Babel, okay, and the fact that this is where God mixed the languages and threw everybody out in different places and all mm-hmm. that. And now you look at the modern day Babel. What are you talking mm-hmm. about? This language program where you can go in and learn some other, learn a foreign language, and they mm-hmm. they named it Babel. I guess they should have reversed the spelling or something.
Well, that's very interesting because now we're going to jump down that rabbit hole. You ready?
All right, go.
Now, here we are. Let's go back. Remember Mount Hermon?
Yes.
And then and then Psalm 82.
Mm-hmm.
So all the gods are up there and they come down and now they're ruling and reigning and they got different territories, but they come out of the flood and God, the first thing God tells them, he says, okay, you guys got to spread out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we see in here is, okay, I'm going to separate everybody and you're going to go here and here. Right. But instead of spreading out, what they said is, no, we're going to be our own strong country. And they stayed together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And they stayed under all the different powers. But now God says, well, I told you to spread out. So that's why he basically busted up their languages and moved uh-huh. them around so they would actually fill the earth mm-hmm. and not just sit in that one spot. That's the short story. Well, there's a lot more to it.
Yeah.
But Pentecost is actually where Jesus takes over. Remember, now he's the Most High God.
Yeah.
And he's the one that rules all the Gentile nations now mm-hmm. as
right.
well.
Right.
Because of the contract that he he submitted with his own blood.
Right.
And therein we have the reversing of the Tower of Babel, and we call that Pentecost.
Yeah, and that was that was a short one-time deal, right?
Pentecost?
Yeah. The actual first event. I'm talking about the first
event. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So, but now we celebrate it every year, but
mm-hmm, right.
we to remind us, now God says, okay, you're going to bring all the different languages together, but now we're going to understand each other because we're under one king.
Yeah.
And they started talking in all sorts of languages,
Well, let me ask you this, David. Somebody was telling me one time that they had, and I don't remember the minister, you know, it was one of those online things. I don't know. But anyway, mm-hmm. the guy said that he had gone to a foreign country. I'm going to say it was Japan. And they had this mm-hmm. big ceremony. And after it was over, one of the people talked to him and said, you know, it really would have been nice if it was in English, you know. And the guy said, it was. I understand every word they said. Now, is that really possible for that one person to hear all that? Or do you think he was just full of it? I really don't know.
It could be both.
Okay.
I do think that's possible because that happened.
Okay.
And as a matter of fact, we have a couple of friends who actually speak in other languages other than like a heavenly language.
Okay. Okay.
And they're you know, not real good at it, and they don't really know what they're saying, but they're like, yeah, I looked it up. It's actually...
It's actually a real language.
Like, oh, that's weird. But that's what it says. It will pour out his spirit at the end mm-hmm. of the age, right?
Yeah.
So it's starting.
Okay.
I think, yeah, it's definitely possible that, you know, the spirit had one person hear it because that's the one who wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why he talked in parables. It was for the same reason.
Right.
But I think if God wants to get a message to somebody, just like, you know, in Iraq, and which one are we bombing, Iraq or Iran? We're bombing Iran.
Iran.
Like Jesus is coming to all of them in their dreams.
Yeah,
like,
and that's being reported now, David. You've been talking about that for about 2 years, and they are actually now in the propaganda media. They're even talking about it. You know, so that's pretty cool. You know. So they're slowly catching up with us. They'll never get there, but they're slowly trying.
Yeah, just when every eye shall see him, then they'll catch up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's about right.
So, but it's the same idea. If the spirit, if he wants to get a message to you, and someone is trying to block it, he's going to get it to you anyway.
There you go.
And mm-hmm. maybe different ways.
Yeah.
You know, with me, I just read the word all the time, so it comes through when I'm reading the word.
Oh,
bam!
Yeah.
Here it. There it is.
There it is. It wasn't there last time, but it's there this time. Yeah,
it wasn't here last week. How did it get there? You know,
right?
Where you know, my wife will have a vision, and or you know, and then some people will have dreams, and mm-hmm. so he approaches whatever your gift is. Let's say,
yeah, right.
Because we're not all the same. Well, if we're all the same, one of us would be unnecessary.
Yeah, that'd be a shame too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm sorry I took you down that rabbit hole. I'll let you get back to your study.
That's right. I mean, that's where we're at with the Tower of Babel. We're still there today. The governments of the world are still in Babel. It's still the same thing. They're trying to be God all by themselves. They're trying to rule the heavenlies all by themselves. You know, you look at the governments of the world, which we term Babylon, each and every one of them, it's the same thing. They're all Babylon. They're just, you know, sub-corporations of Babylon Corporation.
Right.
You know? I wonder if there is actually a corporation called Babylon.
Probably is.
I gotta go ahead and copyright that and see what happens. So now we see that, and it's still here today. But just like the statue of Nebuchadnezzar, you see the head of gold, the body of silver, and then the midsection of bronze, and then the legs and feet of iron.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting from that kingdom way back there where Nebuchadnezzar ruled Babylon all the way up to, you know, the feet of iron and clay. And what happens is the stone that is cut out without hands comes and destroys all of them at once. So what that tells me is, there's remnants of these things, but they are all the same.
Yeah.
They're all the same government. They're all Babylon. Yeah. They're all one statue, which happened to be 60 cubits. You know, so there's that. all the 600 and the 60s and all them.
Yeah.
Things,
so. Uh-huh. And 60. And,
Yeah. You know, there's this, like with all the instruments that he had play, when you hear the sackbut and the flute, and it's like, well, first of all, there's six of them. And what's a sackbut?
I have no idea. I was thinking saxophone, but that couldn't be it, right?
Yeah, well, when you hear the sack butt, you better bow down.
Oh,
that's what they're saying.
Okay, all right, well.
That was, the boys. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. It was Hananiah. Oh, I forgot the Hebrew names. Sorry. Sorry, fellas. They're going to yell at me when I get to heaven. I told you my name. So here we are, but nowhere in any of this do you see people saying, hey, yeah, that's called the gate of God. So where'd we get that?
Okay, yeah.
Do you have any idea where we got that?
No, I don't.
Ah, okay. So the Hebrew is Babel, but it's from another language, Akkadian, actually.
Okay.
And Babilu. Okay, so it's the Babilu is Akkadian for the gate of God.
Oh, okay.
So that's where we're doing. So it has come to be known, just like day. I don't know if you remember, the morning and evening were the first day.
Right.
Okay. And, or the evening and morning.
Evening and morning. I was fixing to say.
Ever and Boker meant to, from chaos to order, to order. Uh-huh. But since we use it so much where the chaos was in the evening and then it went to order and they use that for morning, that's why we assume right now, he created the evening first and then the morning. But everything went from chaos to order in day one and day two. Remember back a year and a half ago?
Yes, I do.
and that's what God was saying. Every day he said, okay, here's chaos. I'm going to bring this to order. And that's the land, okay, I'm going to bring chaos to order. And that's the plant.
Well, you
chaos
know, David,
to order the animals.
Not to go all the way back to our first study or anything, but the way that I look at that now is that it's the only way that it makes sense. I mean, you can't like pop in light just all of a sudden and then say, okay, now from that, I'm going to do this. But it makes a lot of sense to say, I'm going to do this and then bring in the light. That makes a lot of sense to me. Am I crazy for having that?
Yeah, it's the the light is the foundational thing of everything, but ordering the light.
Yeah, but there had to be something.
And now we put the light
first.
In wavelengths. Yeah. And now we put the light in sound waves. Mm-hmm. And now we put the light in electrons, and it makes matter.
Yeah.
So that's what he says. Okay, the light is there, and it's just kind of scattered around.
Okay.
But now I'm gonna take that chaos and I'm gonna order it.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. Thank you.
All right. But Everett of Boker, it meant from chaos to order, but now because it's been used for evening and morning, that's what we think. Oh, it's evening and morning. It's the same thing here with Babel.
Mm-hmm.
So it meant the gate of God, but now we use the term Babel to say, hey, it's confusion because people are babbling.
Okay.
You know, so it's kind of...
I finally found it. Okay, and I mean, I was flipping through every page, and it's on the front page right there. I should have seen it. Okay, so anyway, I'm just telling you, I finally found it.
Yeah, so it's come to be known as confusion and people babbling, but the original word was Babel, but because it was there and everybody was confused, it's just come to be used for confusion, to babble.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, so take a guess at where it was.
Where Babel was?
Yeah.
Well, again, I'm
right
I'm just
right
going
under
to
the next
Mesopotamia. That's what I.
The land of Shinar.
Shinar. Okay.
Yeah. We're going to see Shinar a lot.
In the land of Shinar, southern Mesopotamia, likely Sumer Babylon.
Sumer. Like you hear Sumerians.
Oh yeah, I put another M in there. I'm good.
Well, they're extra letters. We got them lying around.
Okay.
So Sumer and Babylon, and we associate it with Nimrod because here we are. Now, if we look at the Jubilees narrative about the grandson of Arphaxad, Canaan, finding the writings and then translating them and rewriting them of the Watchers. It's right about the same time that Nimrod became the mighty man, and he was the founder of Babel.
Goodness.
So a mighty hunter before the Lord.
You said mighty man. And what I'm looking at here says mighty hunter. Is there a difference?
Yes. Yeah, there's a... Here, let's just look it up.
Okay.
Because the word is actually Giborim. Giborim means a mighty man.
Yeah.
But then they further classified it into a hunter.
Okay. All right.
Okay. And it says here, like in Genesis 10:8, Cush begat Nimrod.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then he began to be a mighty one in the earth. So that that right there is mighty man.
Okay. I got you. I'm with you. Okay. Now, who are these early ziggurats or whatever they are?
Cigarettes. That's actually where they got it from.
Oh, really? Okay.
So the mighty one, basically it means a mighty man, a tyrant, a warrior, or in today's English, we might say a mighty man.
Okay.
Okay. Right. And he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. And you know, when we're there, I think we spoke about this last time, that it wasn't before the Lord as, oh, he's bowing before the Lord. It's like he became a hunter of men. In other words, he killed men in the face of God.
Mm-hmm. Not good.
So it was in this, and then they're like, oh, before the Lord. No, it was meant it was in his face. It's like, he was sticking it to his face because he found all these writings and then thought somehow, you know, oh, I'm going to beat God again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's where we see from Genesis 6 in the beginning, it says there was giants in the land in those days and also after.
Well, I'm going to stop you again just for a second to let everybody know that we are going to have a show, at least one, coming up about the new Nephilim, which is a repeat of what has happened in Genesis 6, because the Bible tells us that as in the days of Noah, so shall the return of the Lord be. And we've got a lot of information on that, and it's coming. It's going to be here before you know it. And we encourage you to listen to that show while YouTube or whoever allows us to keep it up, because it is going to be, we're going to name names. And I'm serious. Mm-hmm. We're going to name names. There's corporate people that are in this, and we're going to name them, and we're going to name their companies, and we're going to name their strategies, and we're going to out them, is basically what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So you just tune in when you see it.
Yeah. So the tagline to that is that, hey, you know, they're trying to bring back the hybrid technology.
Mm-hmm. Right. There you go.
And there's a lot to that, too. So back to the Giborim.
Okay. Ready.
All right. What'd you do with my notes? Oh, they're there. So we're in Shinar. Nimrod kind of started the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Since he became a mighty man, he was the one that came up with the idea. And it says, we will build a tower up to heaven? No.
Unto the heavens.
Like unto the heavens.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. They and that what he tried to do there was not build one that was so tall that he could climb up and touch the moon, because that would be silly. What he did was build one that represented the heavens and tried to lay out the same pattern, because God, in his infinite wisdom, not only put the stars where they were just because they're pretty and flung them out there, there's strategic design in the exact placement of every last one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then he named them all. And I think we talked about this. There's enough stars that we know about already, and these doesn't count the ones we don't know about, for every human being to have 11 trillion stars.
Wow. Wow.
So that's a lot of stars.
That's a lot, yeah.
Yeah, and that's... he named them all. I surmise that he does actually have a name for all of them, just because he's infinite.
Mm-hmm.
But that thought pattern was not necessarily to say, oh, he named all the stars, look how cool he is. Was actually to say, hey, he named the stars in the Matzaroth, all the constellations, on purpose in this order. Because in our study of the constellations, which we are going to get back to, that's going to be huge. Not only do we have the constellations, but they're all named in order of their brightness, and they tell the story of that constellation.
Wow.
With their names. That's what he means by he named all the stars. So I can sit him, you know, sitting there just talking to Adam. It's like, okay, let's set this up. Yeah, I know it doesn't look like a fish, but let's just make it a fish.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And he's like, okay, and this one here, we'll name it this, and this one that, and that, blah, blah, and we'll go in order of brightness, so you remember mm-hmm. them, and then you tell the story of creation and redemption all through history, and that's the Matzaroth.
Wow. Yeah.
And that's where we find Nimrod trying to copy this.
Okay. Okay. I'm with you.
Capiche?
I'm with you, David.
All right. So he's trying to make a tower like unto the heavens,
mm-hmm.
and that just... We see those all over the earth. When we see ziggurats and we see stepped towers, we call them pyramids.
Mm-hmm.
You know what actually pyramid means?
No.
All right. Think of pyro.
Okay. Pyrotechnics.
Pyramids means stones of fire.
They were all altars. I was close with
you
pyrotechnics.
Were.
Okay, cool.
You're very close, but that's where it came from, because these were all fire altars.
Okay.
You know, and fire to them was also electricity back then, but we just they didn't call it that. They called it fire.
Yeah.
And plasma. They've even got plasma and stuff like that. Okay. Look at the Book of Enoch's wild with some of the it's got like, hey, it's got a plasma wall all around heaven. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
You can just plug anything in anywhere you want. Plug it. So all these things were just remnants of them trying to build their way back to the heavens again because they were thrown out.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, that so sense. That's what we see all around the world with the pyramids. And you see, even particular, the Great Pyramid in Egypt.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We see it lined up exactly with the Orion's Belt, you know.
Okay.
So you have to surmise that before the flood, they tried to build all these different things to get back up there again. And then even afterward with Nimrod, and he just kind of destroys them with earthquakes, which are boosting up. And we'll talk about that when we come back in the second half.
Yeah, you got a big
one
to talk
about. We had the most earthquakes ever this past week.
Yeah.
And then an 8.7.
8.8. So, they upgraded it, David. They hit 8.8.
Yeah. Hey, you got to upgrade it. Why not? So the good news about that, it means that Jesus is shaking the planet and the next thing on the horizon is his return. So that's going to be beautiful. Thank you, Jesus, that he's coming back.
Amen.
So if you have not received Jesus yet, now is the time. He died for you to pay for your sins. And he may come back before we're back on the second half, but he's coming back very soon. It's very simple. Admit you're a sinner. Accept that he made the payment for you and then confess that he is Lord. And then he'll take over your life. And Lord willing, we'll see you guys in the second half. Bye.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run with Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run with Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run with Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net.
Break free from fear, pain, and spiritual confusion. Step into total freedom with Rena Lynn, author, speaker, and host of the bold new radio show airing Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net. Rena Lynn brings you real talk on real issues, narcissistic abuse, spiritual warfare, and the emotional battles we all face. With biblical insight and raw honesty, she helps you confront darkness and step into healing. Explore her gripping preparation for the End book series, including the latest release, Intriguing Truth, a powerful journey of faith, trauma, and redemption. Dive into her books, sign up for the newsletter, and discover upcoming challenges designed to help you walk the walk, take spiritual authority, and find your ministry. Join the movement. Find your voice. Experience total freedom with Rena Lynn, Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central on RevelationRadio.net.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Are you looking for a meaningful way to support Christian values in a world that's turning further from truth? The Last Christian Radio Show is 100% listener supported. Every broadcast, every platform, every message, we rely on you to keep the mission going. You can donate directly at lastchristian.net. Every gift matters, no matter the size. Or, here's the best part. You can help just by purchasing the everyday products you already use from our trusted partners. The Conservative Store, Everyday Dose Coffee, Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, and Christian Book. Each offering quality products you'll love. And every purchase through our links helps fuel this ministry. Visit lastchristian.net today to stand with us, pray with us, and support the mission.
Well, it looks like we made it back.
Absolutely.
I hope you received the Lord if you haven't previous to this occasion during the break.
Amen.
Welcome. So we're talking about the Tower of Babel, or in the Akkadian, Gate to the Gods. And now we know it as the name of a place. And Babylon, this is an extension of that, saying that's the government rule. But let's get back to where we started all this. Could you read chapter 11, verse 1 through 9?
Sure.
Why not, right?
Everybody out there is going to have to bear with me because my reading computer's over here. But it says in verse 1, "Now the whole earth had one language and one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the sand in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth.' But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, 'Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down. Let us go down there, confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech.' So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth."
Okay, so what does that mean to you?
Well, there was a couple of things that popped out at me, and I'm going to have to kind of scan back over it here to let you know that. But let me see. I think the big one that jumped out at me, David, honestly, was in verse 6. And the Lord said, "Indeed, the people are now one," and all that. And then in verse 7, he says, "Come, let us go down there and confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So we're talking about more than one member of the Trinity in this particular case. At least that's what I get from it.
Yeah, it's generally a consensus. If he say if he says "let us," then it's usually the three, because there has to be two witnesses to anything.
Yeah,
correct.
Right, okay.
Isn't that a legal right? Mm-hmm. So therefore, it by necessity we have a Trinity, because. Well, who's gonna acknowledge that you're God?
Yeah.
Well, there's got to be two other, you know, persons that are infinite God to vouch for that person, or else anyone can come along and say, you're really not infinite God. So just by legalities, there has to be the Trinity, and it's all one and the same, but all three different.
Yeah.
And you're not going to understand it until you get home, so don't even try.
Right. That's outside of my ability to even begin to calculate.
Yeah. Now, there's remnants of it all over, and people use different types and patterns of it, and then some people make fun of them and saying they're not. So we're back in the same thing. Well, it's both and that's really what you want to get at.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, we can use that. There's three states of matter. You know, you got water, you got ice, and you got steam. We could use that there's three, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's three, there's past, present, and future. So there's time, and there's three. Now, all of these things, you can say, you can poo-poo them if you want, but they're all vestiges and remnants of the, mm-hmm. of the Trinity, if you would. Even, you know, a man is a spirit, soul, and body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There was one other thing that I got out of this, too. And that was it, you know, after the Lord scattered them abroad from they're all over the face of the earth, this being mm-hmm. In verse 8, but it's the second half of it there that got me, and it says, and they ceased building the city. It doesn't say they tore it down. It doesn't say
right.
Anything other than they just flat stopped. And so the first thing that would go into my mind is, okay, well, a lot of the people that knew how to do this were some of those that got kicked out to where they couldn't do it. But, it, mm-hmm. again, it doesn't say that they destroyed it. So what's up with that?
Oh, that's interesting. We can find more information in Jubilees.
Okay.
So let's go over there. Now, I want to back up a little bit, too, and okay. talk about this. Now, okay. So Jubilees 10, mm-hmm. that's where we are. It talks about them, and I think it was in 8 we found the writings, and then let me see. But there's a spot in there where all the demons during the flood were locked in the abyss, but then Satan comes and says, well, I need some so I can tell them what to do here.
10% or something?
Yeah, and there was 10% of them. And let me see this. But that's where we are. Basically, that's where we are. So what happened is after the flood, then these unclean demons, it says in Jubilees chapter 10, in the third week of this Jubilee, the unclean demons began to lead astray the children of the sons of Noah and to make to err and destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
And the sons of Noah came to Noah, their father, and they told him concerning the demons, which were leading astray and building blinding and slaying his sons. So here's Noah, just went through this whole thing, and now that here they are back again.
They're back. Oh no.
And you know, all the people that he had, and now they're coming to him and saying, hey, these demons are back and they're killing all of your sons and grandsons.
Oh, man.
So he prayed before the Lord his God and said, God of the spirits of all flesh, who has shown mercy unto me and has saved me and my sons from the waters of the flood, and has not caused me to perish as thou didst the sons of perdition. For thy grace has been great towards me, and great has been thy mercy to my soul. Let thy grace be lift up upon my sons, and let not wicked spirits rule over them, lest they should destroy the earth. So that's the groundwork.
Okay.
Demons are in here. We just read in chapter back that Canaan found his writings, and he tried to do them, mm-hmm. and he's now... they're enchanting stuff. Now these unclean demons are coming out. Those are the ones that weren't locked up.
Yeah.
So here we are. And they're doing this. And this is the start of the tower. And
okay.
so these demons are talking these people into say, hey, let us come into you and let us build this tower into heaven because we're stuck here on earth.
I got you.
You with me?
Okay. Yes. That makes a lot of sense. Okay. Good.
So in verse 4 says, but do thou bless me and my sons, that we may increase and multiply and replenish the earth, that thou knowest how thy watchers, the fathers of these spirits, acted in my day. As for these spirits which are living, imprison them and hold them fast in the place of condemnation. Here we go. This is where they get locked up.
Okay.
And do not let them bring destruction on the sons of thy servant, my God, for these are malignant and created in order to destroy. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's where we get the information that what we call demons are actually the half-breed spirits of the Nephilim, because the watchers were the fathers of these spirits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So the fallen angels came down, and they're fallen angels. They don't need a body. They can manifest because they're angels.
Mm-hmm.
But then they copulated with human women.
Mm-hmm.
So now these half-breed spirits, these demons, they have to have a body to inhabit because they're half-human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why you see the difference in demons and fallen angels. They're not the same.
Yeah. Okay.
And then Noah's like, can you please lock them up because they're messing with my kids?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't want destruction on them for their malignant and created in order. And then verse 6, and let them not rule over the spirits of the living. Okay. For thou alone can exercise dominion over them. Mm-hmm. In other words, we don't have the power to do this.
Right.
And let them not have power over the sons of the righteous from henceforth and forevermore. And the Lord our God bade us to bind all. And the chief of the spirits, Mastema, came and said, Lord, Creator, let some of them remain before me.
Mm-hmm.
And let them hearken to my voice and do all that I shall say unto them. Okay. For if some of them are not left to me, I shall not be able to execute the power of my will on the sons of men. For these are for corruption and leading astray before my judgment, for great is the wickedness of the sons and men. So here comes this chief of the spirits, Mastema. Mm-hmm. So we assume that's Satan.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Chief of the spirits. It could possibly be Azazel, but it here is called Mastema.
Mm-hmm.
And he's making a case before God to say, listen, I want these evil things. I won't be able to do any evil and kill the sons of men, and they're kind of wicked.
Yeah.
Could you let me have 10% of these dudes so I can like destroy the sons of men? And for some reason, God says, okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that baffled me for I can't tell you, you know, but in speaking with you over the many, many months here, I kind of understand it now. Because, you know, as you've been teaching, God has to let things play out. And
that's right.
If, you know, your contract terms come back up again. And if he cut this guy short, this, you know, evil person.
And he could say, well, you didn't give me a chance.
You didn't give me a chance. Right. Exactly. So, you know, that kind of that at least that in my little mind is how it calculated. I'm hoping I'm close, David.
So he said, let the 10th part of them remain before him and let 9 parts descend into the place of condemnation.
Mm.
So that's where I get 90% of the demons are locked up.
Right.
And in Revelation, when he opens the abyss, that's when they're coming out.
All 90% of them.
Yep. And we only got 10% of them out, and these are the lightweights.
Yeah.
And yeah, one of us, he commanded that if we should teach Noah all their medicines, for he knew that they would not walk in uprightness nor strive in righteousness. Wow. So he taught Noah the medicines.
Mm-hmm.
And we did, according to all his words, all the malignant evil ones we bound in the place of condemnation, and a 10th part of them we left that they might be subject before Satan on the earth. Mm-hmm. So that's what he says. Oh, the subject before Satan. So that leads me to believe that Mastema
is somebody else.
Is Satan, yeah. Or is at least Satan-like. It's just another name for Satan.
Maybe.
That's an interesting study on that, though.
Okay.
And we explained to Noah all the medicines of their diseases together with their seductions. He might heal them with the herbs of the earth. Now, the rumor has it they actually found that book. In the Dead Sea Scrolls, and then they buried it because they didn't want people getting healed.
I wouldn't
doubt it. Along with the Book of Enoch and stuff like that. So
I wouldn't doubt it.
That's interesting because that was after Rockefeller said, oh, no, we need petroleum-based poison, not natural things. So Noah wrote down all the things in a book, as we instructed him, concerning every kind of medicine.
Okay.
I want the book. Thus the evil spirits were precluded from hurting the sons of Noah. So there you go.
The spirits
were allowed out, the 10%, but God gave Noah a book of medicine.
Was that a secret? You know, double under secret here, Noah, this is for you and your family, but not for everybody else?
Well, he was everybody else.
Noah was it. You're right. Oh, duh. Okay.
And he gave all that he had written to Shem, his eldest son.
Okay, yeah.
For he loved him exceedingly above all sons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
So he loved Shem the most.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it says here, eldest, but I wonder if in the Hebrew that's his not as eldest, but favorite. We'll find out.
Okay.
Shem, Ham, and Japheth, because there's some reason to believe that Japheth was born earlier, and this is the second one. But okay. Again, all through, you know, it says Jacob, Isaac was his firstborn, when clearly he wasn't.
Yeah. Right.
So there's things like that. So Noah's, so here, this is all like a buildup to the Tower of Babel.
Mm-hmm.
So this is more to the story that we read in Jubilees. So Noah slept with his fathers and were buried on Mount Lubar in the land of Ararat. 950 years completed his life, 19 Jubilees in 2 weeks and 5 years. And he excelled in his life on the earth. He excelled the children of men, save Enoch, because of the righteousness. So the only one more righteous than Noah was Enoch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wherein he was perfect. Enoch was perfect.
Close to it, yes.
Yeah. I don't suppose that means perfect the way we would say perfect, but mm-hmm. perfect in his generations, and in other words, perfectly righteous. Like God says, be perfect as I am perfect.
Yeah, obviously, because God really liked him a lot.
Yeah. For Enoch's office was ordained for a testimony to the generations of the world. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So Jubilees is confirming the book of Enoch.
Yep.
So, testimony to the generations of the world that he should recount all the deeds of generation unto generation till the day of judgment. So Enoch's book is for the day of judgment, and we're coming up on that, which is why it's, you know, suddenly front and center all of a sudden.
Yeah.
All right. So now that all took place, and here we go into Babel. And in the 33rd Jubilee, in the first year of the second week, Peleg took to himself a wife, okay? So they finished out Noah's life. Noah's not really dead yet. It just said, okay, yeah, Noah lived on till 950 years, but then, okay, let's back up.
He was in retirement.
Let's talk about Peleg again.
Yeah, he was in retirement.
That's Hebrew-style writing. Let me finish his story, and then we'll back up and start this other guy's story, which overlaps.
All right.
So Peleg took to himself a wife whose name's Loma, the daughter of Sana'ar. And she bare him a son in the fourth year of the week, called his name Reu. And behold, the children of men have become evil and wicked through the purpose of building for themselves a city and a tower in the land of Shinar.
Okay. Okay.
That's crazy. For they departed from the land of Ararat eastward to Shinar, for in his days they built the city and the tower, saying, go to, let us ascend thereby into heaven. And they began to build. In the fourth week, they made brick with fire, and the brick served them for stone, and the clay which they cemented them together was asphalt, which comes out of the sea. All right, so what did it say in Genesis? Brick and slime, basically?
Let's see, I've still got it up here. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. That's what it says.
Yeah. Okay. So, and it depends on which version you use, but say slime, but that's what slime was. They used basically like the tar pits.
Yeah. Just for the people out there that might be following along in the Bible, I'm reading from the New King James Version. So some of it, it depends on your version as to how that's.
Some says slime, but it was asphalt.
Yeah.
Basically. And not the kind we think of today. It's the slime pits that came out of the earth.
Yeah, right.
Began to build bricks, can't see what comes out, and asphalt, which comes out of the sea. So they have this goop.
Okay.
And out of the fountains of water in the land of Shinar. And they found it. They actually found it over there. There's tar pits over there.
Oh,
and they built it. Check this out. 43 years they were building it.
Wow.
And its breadth was 203 bricks. And the height of a brick was 1/3 of one. That's how we get bricks today. That's how we make them.
Uh-huh.
And the height amounted to 5,433 cubits and 2 palms.
So how tall is that in regular?
Well, a cubit, let's say the small one is 18 inches, so a foot and a half.
Okay.
A big one, you might say, is 2 feet.
Okay.
I don't know if they were 2 feet other than the fact that, you know, they were all bigger back then, so and a cubit was always from your elbow to the tip of your finger,
mm-hmm, right?
And since they were all bigger, let's assume it was 2 feet.
Okay.
So that would be 5,430. How you get math?
I'm terrible at math.
Okay, good. It's 10,866 feet.
Feet tall.
10,000 feet tall. That's about 2 miles. 5,000.
Wow, I've flown at 10,000 feet. Good grief. That's up there.
Yeah. So it was pretty tall, but they weren't actually trying to get up into heaven. They were building it like unto the heavens. They were making it. Yeah. So when you look at this thing, okay. So that's pretty tall, 10,000 feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
And the extent of one wall was 13 stadia and the other 30 stadia. Okay, what's stadia is like a furlong, which is an eighth of a mile.
Okay.
So it was really tall and skinny, apparently.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you look at it, it almost had to be built like that, the way that it was. Otherwise, it would have, you know, it couldn't have come together architecturally. It just wouldn't work.
So let's say a mile and a half, and then there's 30 stadia, 4 or 5 miles, something like that.
Man.
That's how wide the building was, but then it was 10,000 feet high.
How does that compare to like New York City as far as the I'm not talking the
height, tower the width is 1776 and they're only like a block long, you know, maybe 300 feet max.
That thing is awesomely big. I'd never really envisioned it as being that tall and that wide. That's incredible.
According to this book, that's what it says. Behold, they are one people. Oh, and the Lord God said unto us, behold, they are one people. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be withholden from them. Mm-hmm. Go to, and let us go down and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech, that they may be dispersed into cities and nations. See, that was the goal. That's where you learn this.
Mm-hmm.
He said, look, I told you to go into cities and nations, and you're staying all here in one spot.
Right.
And one purpose will no longer abide with them till the day of judgment. Okay? So what are we trying to do now? Make a one world government?
Yep.
Just before the day of judgment?
Yep.
And that's where we're at, the new world order.
Yeah.
We should all be one. Now, and the Lord descended, and we descended with him to see the city and the tower which the children of men had built. And he confounded their language, and they no longer understood one another's speech. And they ceased then to build a city and a tower. For this reason, the whole land of Shinar is called Babel, because the Lord did there confound all the language of the children of men. Mm-hmm. And from thence they were dispersed into their cities, each according to his language and his nations. So that's where he sent them out.
Yeah.
Now you wondered what happened to it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Verse 26. So Jubilees 10:26, right?
Mm-hmm.
It says, and the Lord sent a mighty wind against the tower and overthrew it upon the earth. Mm. And behold, it was between Asher and Babylon in the land of Shinar. And they called its name Overthrow.
Okay, sounds like is that anywhere close to an ocean? I mean, it sounds like it could have been a hurricane.
Well, it's the plains of China. I think they wanted the flat plains because it was going to be so big.
Yeah, just like a flat line wind.
Imagine trying to build that on a hill.
Yeah, a flat line wind will do it too. You know, I'm thinking tornado. I'm thinking, you know, anything. I mean, whatever the Lord wanted to use, he used it. It went down. Yeah, that's the point.
A mighty wind. There you go.
Okay.
Okay, so there's more to the story there in Jubel.
Yeah, this is cool.
Yeah. Now, it is mentioned in a couple other books, like there's the third Baruch. I don't know if you heard of him.
I have, yeah.
Baruch basically means blessed, but he wrote a bunch of stuff. Don't know how canonical it is, but it's at least history.
Yeah.
And it was a tower built by giants after the flood. Well, there's Nimrod again, so it kind of fits into the story, right?
Yeah.
And it implies the connection between Babel and Nephilim-like rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we see. So we try and look for that in Genesis to see if there's any corroborating evidence of stuff like that. And the only thing we really find is Nimrod became a mighty man.
Yeah.
So it, I don't think it contradicts Genesis. I think Genesis just didn't add that to the story.
Yeah, it wasn't necessary. Yeah, it wasn't necessary for us to go there. Yeah.
He says, listen, you'll find more to the story elsewhere. This is all you need to know.
Yeah.
You build a tower and knock it down, spread them around the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it says in 3 Baruch 3:5, when the building was about to be finished, they placed the stone of height, which was to fasten the whole building together. And behold, fire came from heaven and burned them.
Mm.
So maybe there was lightning came down and struck them because they said fire came from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And then God knocked it over. That would fit with the tornado theory.
Yeah.
Having a storm.
Yeah. I mean, it's something. I don't know what he used, but whatever it was greatly effective.
Yeah. So take that for what it's worth in Baruch, at least.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, let's see if we can add that to it. Or 2.5 kilometers. So 2 miles or 2.5 kilometers, if that's how tall it was.
Mm.
Who uses kilometers?
I don't know. You know, it seems like everybody who's in the military thinks that we ought to know this stuff, and they do it. One thing that I do remember, and this is completely off topic, but one thing I remember in school, I think it was in maybe the fifth or sixth grade, and they said, mm-hmm. we have to learn this metric system because we're going to go there in like 5 years. You know, well, okay,
yeah,
that was about
50. That for how long?
Yeah, that's about 55 years ago, and you know, we're still dealing with feet and inches and all that kind of good stuff. So I don't understand this metric system stuff.
Listen to me very clearly, folks.
Okay.
If God wanted the metric system, he would have had 10 disciples.
There you go.
But he's got 12 because there's a foot. All right? 12 inches. Foot.
I love it. That's a good one. I like that.
So I ain't buying it. So here... there's this. We might find more to get into this next week, but this is more of the, when we really dig deep into this stuff, we will be talking about this a lot on Shadows of a Greater Reality when that comes. Because that's fun. So some people may not like that, but if you do, come on over there and we could talk about all the crazy stuff
and
then say, well, yeah, that's kind of crazy. Let's talk about that.
That debuts this Sunday evening. Woo-hoo. At 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Central Time.
Now, where can
on
they see
RevelationRadio.net. Just go to RevelationRadio.net, and David is hosting that along with, I can't remember your co-host.
Nestor.
Name. Nestor, yeah. And it ought to be something really, really special. As a matter of fact, we're going to have the next show we have is going to be all about that. They're going to introduce the show, and you'll find out a little bit about it. So I think you'll enjoy it. Anyway.
Yep. So just to button this all up, the insights here, we got unity versus rebellion,
mm-hmm.
But not unity for humanistic pride under his will. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we see the divine limitation of human hubris. You like that word, human hubris?
Hubris, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. So okay. God intervened not out of fear, but to prevent a premature corruption and judgment like mm-hmm. Noah's time.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing, mm-hmm. you know, people use that, if we just come together, nothing will be impossible for us. And they use that for like, you know, mm-hmm. positive talk. And it's like, mm-hmm. do you have any idea what you're talking about? What's the judgment come down now that you said that?
Uh-huh.
But the judgment is mercy because it was protective. Because of all the demons that we saw ahead of time in the Book of Jubilees.
Makes perfect sense.
And then we did speak about this. It was foreshadowing Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when Jesus comes back, now everybody comes together, speaks different languages, but they can understand each other.
Amen.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think that's all the time we got for now. But Lord willing, we will see you guys on the next show. In the meantime, he might come in a rapture, so you better accept him today. God bless. Bye.
You've been listening to The Last Christian Radio Show, where biblical truth meets headline reality, and prophecy is never fiction. We're on the air every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday night at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central, boldly proclaiming the gospel and warning a world on the brink. But we can't do it alone. Your support makes the mission possible to speak the truth, reach the lost, and prepare the world for the return of Jesus Christ. Visit lastchristian.net and help us continue broadcasting the unfiltered, uncensored truth to the nations. Whether it's a one-time gift or by shopping through our trusted partners, every action you take fuels the message.
So stay informed, stay bold, and above all, stay ready, because the trumpet could sound at any moment. Until next time, good night and God bless.